Hello, welcome back to the Essential Astrocast. I am your host, Veronica Peretti, and I am so happy to be back with you guys. It is Monday when I'm recording this, April 15th, tax day here in the US. I'm just excited to be getting on the mic on Monday night after I finish teaching because past couple of weeks I have been recording later in the week because I just didn't have anything extra to give. And I know a lot of you know how it feels. I know a lot of people have been sick this eclipse season. We talked about that today in Cosmic Conversation and Contemplation. That is my monthly free gathering on Zoom. If you are interested in asking questions about astrology or just tuning into what's happening in the cosmos, having a cosmic conversation with me and then doing a little bit of reflecting. Yeah, it's a great time. We spend most of it talking about astrology, and then the last about 10 minutes, we do some journaling. So I love doing those and I love sharing it with those of you that come, and hopefully more of you will be coming as we continue to do it throughout the year. It took a long break because of course I had a baby, but now I'm getting back into the flow, and this week I'm feeling back in the flow already. I just feel like I woke up energized again for the first time in a long while. The winter has been hard. I mean, I just think it's been a really tough winter. A lot of illness, at least in my world. I'm in New York. We go inside in the winter, and just a lot of people have been sick this winter, and then eclipse season always brings up a lot of illness or vulnerability because eclipse season tends to douse our vitality. It tends to make us feel a little bit less vibrant, and then it's easier to feel like you get something and get slowed down. Of course, we know, as I told some of the people that came today to Cosmic Conversation, some people were saying that they've been sick. And I said, yeah, it's, of course, germs make you sick, right? The planetary energies are not going to make you physically ill, but you're potentially going to be more prone to getting sick when you're feeling run down. And eclipses can energetically just make us feel like we're run down because eclipses are lunar transits. And the moon is not only about how we feel emotionally, but it's also our physical body and how we feel physically. So that's the deal. I hope that you are over your eclipse hangover if you had one. Mine was fierce. This eclipse season has been fierce for me in general. But this series of eclipses that we're in started back in July of 2023, so last summer. So you are doing a lot of work integrating the healing that you started at the beginning of this eclipse series. Aries is the ultimate individual, standing on your own two feet, really being in your power, your autonomy. Libra is the partner. Libra is the relationships. And we're finding a balance between, are we giving too much or are we not filling our cup enough? Can we fill our cup first and then give? Can we honor our responsibilities to our partner, to our relationships? And can we maintain our autonomy without feeling swallowed up? So those are some of the ways this might be playing out for you, but it depends on how the eclipses are hitting your chart and where it's happening in your chart. So this week, we got some really big stuff happening. So this is one of the biggest moments of 2024. This week holds some of the biggest astrology of the year. So I want you to definitely listen up and take note. I am just going to get to the good stuff. I'm not going to bury the lead. I'm not going to talk about all the things sequentially. We're going to get to the good stuff. Jupiter and Uranus are meeting up for a conjunction. A conjunction means that one planet is at a particular degree of a particular sign, and then another planet comes and joins that planet at the exact same degree of the exact same sign. So Jupiter and Uranus are meeting up at 21 degrees Taurus. So if you know that you've got some stuff at 21 degrees Taurus or around there, or maybe at 21 degrees of Scorpio or Leo or Aquarius, then this is going to be pretty major for you. Also, for my fellow 83 babies, we have this in our chart, Jupiter and Uranus conjunct in Sagittarius. And for those people that were born further back, gosh, I would have to look at what the previous ones are, but I'm going to pull it up while I'm talking because I did some just interesting, you know, searching on my astrology software today and looking at the previous Jupiter-Uranus conjunctions, and some of them were really interesting. So the most recent one that we had three hits, and it was June 2010 to January 2011. So during that time, they met up three times, June 8th, September 18th, 2010, and then January 4th, 2011. Now, because that had to do with Jupiter and Uranus having whatever their retrograde path was at that time, because of the retrograde path this year, they will only meet up one time. So the only conjunction that we will have Jupiter and Uranus this year will be on Saturday, April 20th. Now, this is a transit that happens every 13 to 14 years, depending, of course, because of that retrograde variability. All of that is to say, we can say this is an every 14-year transit in the shorthand, and that means that it doesn't happen every day. And it's been a while since we've experienced it. And so it's always interesting when we have these transits that are less common, but not so rare that we don't have experience with them, right? So for many of us, we've lived through a good amount of these. For some of us, less, but most everyone listening to this podcast has probably lived through at least one of these that they can remember. So the last one, 2010 to 2011, you can think back what was going on in my life and then what shifted during that time or even in the months after. Because of course, astrology is not black and white, it's shades of gray. So we're experiencing different cycles at the same time. This is a particular transit that feels very electrifying. It feels very inspiring. It feels like it shakes something loose. So you might have had something shaken up around one of those exact conjunctions in 2010 or 11, but maybe the result of that shakeup wasn't until later into 2011, perhaps. So just think about like what was going on in those years. It doesn't have to be on those exact dates. So this is going to be the big thing of the week. It, again, might feel energizing or electrifying, but it can feel restless. It might provide some inspiration or it might shift your perspective in some way. So Jupiter is the planet that's associated with faith and belief. It helps us make meaning of the world. It gives us a sense of purpose in our life. It is where we see the overarching story, the big picture that's taking place. It is associated with fertility and abundance and indulgence. Jupiter, we like to say, is an amplifier. So it will amplify whatever it touches. Jupiter is, of course, the Roman version of the Greek god Zeus. So he was the god of all the gods. That's why we associate him with fertility. And so many, many, many moons ago, if you were looking to get pregnant, you might make an offering to Lord Jupiter or Zeus. And of course, in astrology, I've read charts for many people. I'm not doing one-on-one readings right now. That is a question that comes in a lot. I had to take a break and I'm working a lot less because of the baby, but definitely get on the email list if you're interested in one-on-one readings, because if I do open them up, they will be opened up to the people who have come before and the people on my email list first, if at all. So you want to get on the email list anyway, because lots of good stuff, including this podcast, goes out every week. So get on there, veronicaparetti.com, head over there, enter your email. You know the drill. So Jupiter is, of course, it is associated with faith. It's associated with academia. It's associated with religion. It's associated with spiritual teachings and spiritual leaders and those that are messengers of God. It is the planet that's associated with the pondering of why are we here? What does it all mean? Now, Uranus is associated with change. He likes to shake things up. He is associated with revolution and rebellion, freedom, autonomy, breakthroughs, innovation. And he can often be thought of as being erratic, unreliable, unpredictable. So, thinking about what I said about Jupiter, you know, Jupiter is going to amplify these energies of Uranus. Now, they're in Taurus. Taurus is a sign that is associated with things being slow, steady, sturdy, reliable, steadfast. A lot of the time when you have Uranus transits, those Uranus transits can be short. They might be short-lived. They might come and go quickly. They might not last. You know, you meet someone under a Venus Uranus transit. Perhaps it's a real hot, heavy, electric connection, but then doesn't last so long. So Jupiter-Uranus meeting here at 21 degrees Taurus, Taurus is the fixed earth sign. It's the earthiest earth sign. So my hope is that if some good changes come your way, if some good opportunities come your way, if you have some wonderful, inspiring shift of perspective, that you're able to hold on to it. So a lot of the time with this Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, there is a desire or a need to balance your responsibilities or what you might be seeing as burdens with your desire to live for yourself or do your own thing or experience freedom. So if you have a moment this week where you're just like, I want to pack up the car and drive far away, take a breath, pause, it'll probably pass. Your feelings of idealism, what's important to you, are going to be really riled up. So you might decide all of a sudden that you want to join that political campaign or go put a petition together for something that's really important to you. Get people organized. You might want to go and find a group doing work that aligns with your values. There is that revolutionary energy to this that makes us want to be a part of something that's important, that aligns with our view of the world, that aligns with our ideals of how the world should be. So that's possible. Sudden windfalls or unexpected opportunities could show up. So you might be like, wow, so weird that that person asked me to join them at lunch. And then I met that person and now I have an interview at this company that I've wanted to work for years. Or something like, you know, you get an email from someone that you haven't talked to in a while. It is Mercury retrograde after all. And they're like, hey, I was thinking of you. I would love for you to come meet so-and-so. I think that you and this person might really hit it off in a romantic way. So like, you never know. Not that this is a particularly romantic transit. I have to say that because people always want to know about romance with astrology. But I'm just saying that you might just experience an unexpected opportunity or opening that comes in the weirdest of ways, because Uranus is weird and likes to do things in unexpected and completely, you know, out of the norm kind of ways. So that's a way that this could manifest. I personally got an email from one of my coaches that I work with, and she was like, I'd love to have you on the podcast. And I was like, oh my God, full circle moment, because her podcast was life-changing for me back in like 2021, 22. So, and I'll definitely share with you that interview when it comes out. But the point is that weird and unexpected things could come through that are good or not so good. I mean, of course, I'm focusing on the positive because I'm in the business of lifting you up. I'm not in the business of getting you down. And I do think that there are more positive upsides to this on a personal level. On a global level, I do think that this is going to be interesting and kind of challenging. I'm not looking forward to keeping track of the news this week. Probably the news is going to come fast. Now, the last way that this might manifest, and it's a more of an internal shift, is expanding your consciousness or opening you up to a new perspective. Because both of these, you know, the outer planets are the transcendent planets. They ask us to transcend the mundane and the earthly. And Jupiter amplifying that transcendent quality, it gives us an opportunity to expand consciousness. And Jupiter is always interested in helping us expand our consciousness in ways of connecting with the bigger story, the overarching purpose of things, giving things meaning. So with that, you know, we might find a new perspective on something. You might just be inspired to see something from a new angle. And you're like, wow, I didn't think of it that way, but that makes sense. And now I have a deeper understanding of that person or that relationship or this topic that I've been studying, because Jupiter is also often, it's associated with academia. So Jupiter has a lot to do with study as well. So you might be all of a sudden really interested in studying this new thing. Maybe you've always wanted to learn Arabic and then you decide that you're gonna do Duolingo Arabic. I don't know. So that is Jupiter Uranus and how it can manifest. Some other things that are happening around this transit that are amplifying it are Mars sextiling both these planets. So, you know, a sextile, of course, is the planets are working together. That is a harmonious flowing transit. We like that. What I love about this as a very Marsy girl is that it is motivating. So whatever changes happen, whatever perspectives shift, whatever opportunities come in, Mars is going to help you take advantage of it and take action on it. On the world stage, as I said, this can be a little volatile. So I am a little bit nervous about the news this week because there is so much just violence, strife, and anger in the world all over. So that is something to keep in mind. But on a personal level, I do think this will help give you the oomph to make it happen and to really use the momentum that you got this week to take you forward. You might already be feeling this. I swear, I think I'm already feeling it. This week, today, Monday, I just woke up feeling so much more energized. It felt like I had more time. Like, I got to my physical therapy appointment almost 20 minutes early, which is insane for me. If you know me, you know I'm always late. So just, I felt like time expanded for me today. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's really how it felt. And part of that might be because I do have this in my chart. So this is a recurrence for me. And when you have something in your natal chart and then it happens in the sky, it can feel more powerful for you. So that is that. The other thing happening this week, as you know, if you listened to last week's episode, the solar eclipse was conjunct Chiron, the wounded healer. We're doing a lot of work of integrating the healing that we've been doing since July 23. So this week, Mercury and Venus also join Chiron. So of course, the sun and the moon have moved forward in the chart. And then Mercury comes in today on April 15th, and then Venus will come and join Chiron on Sunday, the 21st. This is continuing the work of that solar eclipse. So whatever, you know, crops up for you, whatever was illuminated, you don't have to figure it out. Eclipses can take 6 months to unpack themselves. So we're working with those eclipses for the next few weeks and months, depending on how intense it was for you. We're integrating the healing. We're doing that work. But what's cool about Mercury and Venus joining with Chiron this week, it's going to give us some language. It's going to give us some feelings. It's going to give us a little bit of structure around whatever came up with the eclipse. And then on Sunday, April 21st, not only is Venus meeting Chiron, but the sun is squaring Pluto, illuminating our relationship with power. So this might have you feeling powerful or powerless. It might have you stepping into your power in a new way after this, you know, electrifying Jupiter-Uranus conjunction and this very intense eclipse season. And then next week, a little preview, on Tuesday, April 23rd, we will have the full moon in Scorpio, and that will officially end eclipse season, because eclipse season ends when the lunation after the last eclipse occurs. So that new moon in Aries was a solar eclipse. Our full moon in Scorpio that's coming on April 23rd will not be near the nodes, so it will not be an eclipse. And therefore, it is the end of eclipse season. Yay! I, for one, am saying good riddance to eclipse season. I think it brought up a lot for a lot of us. I think there is a lot of healing going on. There is a lot of shifting. All of that is good and necessary. But boy, has it been intense for me, along with the Mercury retrograde, which, by the way, Mercury retrograde is still here. Mercury is retrograde in Aries until April 25th. So we're still working with that. But luckily, next week, we will be able to bid Mercury retrograde adieu. Of course, we'll have the shadow period after, but at least he will start moving direct. That will be on the 25th, which is Thursday next week. And I'll talk more about that next week when we're back together. But as I mentioned earlier, I wanted to just review a couple of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunctions that we previously had. We had one in 97. We had one in 19. We had it in 1983 when I was born. There were three of them because of the retrograde pattern. And then there were three of them in 68 and 69. And I was thinking, gosh, this is an aspect, a transit of revolution. And of course, this occurred December 68 and then two more times in 69. And that is a time that, of course, I was not alive at that time, but that is a time in our collective zeitgeist, our ethos, that is so associated with revolution. And those conjunctions were in Libra, which is the sign of the peacemaker. It's the sign of partnership, working together, balance, justice, which is so aligned with the movement for peace at that time and the anti-war movement. And I can't help but think that there are some parallels happening right now. I haven't done a ton of research on those other years and what was going on, but I've got to say, I feel like there's some parallels. Of course, there was a lot of big astrology at that time. Mainly, we had Uranus-Pluto conjunct prior to that. But yeah, really interesting that that is a period of time that we had these conjunctions and now we're having them again. And there is a huge anti-war movement that is brewing, like, across the globe, particularly amongst younger people here in the States. And so just really interesting, you know, astrology is, we often turn to astrology when we have questions about the future, when we feel uncertain. But the funny thing is that astrology actually works best when we're doing reflection. So that's why I always say the journaling work that we do in the restorative moon rituals for the new moon and the full moon in Cosmic Yoga Club, and the brief journaling that we do at the end of Cosmic Conversation and Contemplation, it's all really helpful, because taking a moment to get quiet and reflect and maybe look back at how you've been feeling or how things have been going, or maybe the last time that transit was in town, those things help us clarify the patterns that we're seeing in our own life. So that's what I got for you today. A few questions that I asked in Cosmic Conversation and Contemplation today, I thought I would share with you, because these are the questions I always ask every month. And again, you're welcome to join us next month. You can actually sign up now, totally free. It is on my website under events. And the questions I ask are, number one, how do you feel? Number two, how do you want to feel? Number three, what action can you take to feel that way? And number four, what can the universe do to help? And finally, I gave everybody a little cosmic homework, which was to check back in their calendars from 2010 to 11, specifically the dates of June 8th, 2010, September 18th, 2010, and January 4th, 2011, when we had the last series of Jupiter-Uranus conjunctions, and just see what was going on at that time and what was going on in your life and how were you feeling and what was coming up for you. And maybe where was it happening in your chart? If you're a little bit more, you know, astro enthusiast and you know how to look at that. But those transits were, interestingly, two of them were in Pisces and one of them was in Aries. So yeah, so that Aries, lots of Aries energy this eclipse season. And we're looking back to June 8th, 2010, when we had that conjunction at 0 degrees Aries. And then the following ones were in Pisces. So that's what I got for you today. I feel like it was a lot. Maybe it was more astro verbiage than normal, but lots of big stuff happening this week. And I want to make sure that you're really able to tune into it. So if you have any questions, you know where to find me, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye. One more thing before you go. If you like the show, please subscribe, follow, rate, and review it. It really helps other astrology enthusiasts find the Essential Astrocast. And even better, send this episode to one of your friends who you know will appreciate it. It would mean the world to me, and it will help more people find the podcast. Okay, until next time, may the stars shine brightly upon you.